talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, yesterday on the show, I mentioned this KTVQ news story. Billings Mayor Bill Cole and Montana State Senator Mike Yakovich shared excitement and concern regarding the statewide forensic mental health facility coming to Laurel. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services announced its decision to bring the facility to Laurel on Friday, referring to it as a behavioral health facility. So that was big in the news Friday. We talked about it yesterday on the show. Great now to be joined by State Senator Mike Yakovich, and I think we've also got State Senator Dennis Lenz back in studio as well. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us here this morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, Aaron.
Yeah, Senator Yakovich, let's start with you. First off, your reaction to the news coming from DPHHS.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Thank you for allowing us to be on your show. And first of all, I want to shout out for Jessica Flint. Awesome lady, really contributing great to Montana. So you are lucky to have a good lady like that. I just want to just start out with this whole thing is I look at it as an opportunity rather than an opposition. And the opportunity for our state, opportunity for the patients who are in need, the opportunity for just a greater dynamic behavioral health connection with DPHHS and here in Billings. So, you know, just a lot of pluses to this project. And I know Senator Lenz has a lot to say too about this, but we're really anticipating a lot of good for our state and for the people who are in need.
Well, I know there was disagreement on where to place the facility. Miles City wanted it. Hardin wanted it. There was some opposition in Yellowstone County. Commissioner Mark Morse joined us on this show. But I think the one thing everybody could agree on, though, is that a facility like this is very clearly needed in Montana. While there might have been disagreement about where to put it, clearly a facility like this is needed. What would you say is the why a facility like this is so needed here in Montana?
Aaron, Senator Lenz here. We're at a paradigm shift in Montana right now as far as where the needs are. Where the traditional mental health facility is kind of lacking in the employee base, and that's been a struggle for a long time. Billings actually has a lot of people that are going to the state hospital, and I think Billings fills a need with the people we have here that can do that work. And so if we're making that change as we are right now, Billings should be a part of that.
I know one of the concerns from Yellowstone County's perspective is they're concerned that this might lead to more of these prison inmates potentially being released in the Billings area, in the Laurel area now. But Senator Yakovich, I know you kind of work to reassure folks on that front in particular. What will the state, another question is, what will the state do in terms of funding to make sure that the cost don't end up on the backs of more Yellowstone County folks as well? We'll get to those questions and much more right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks. Again, great to have Senator Yakovich and Senator Lenz in the house with us here for the show this morning. Back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some clouds in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies as high temperature readings will stay around the lower 30s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with overnight lows in the upper teens to around 20. And then we'll see considerable cloudiness on Thursday. Some scattered snow showers with high temperature readings up in the mid and upper 30s for most areas. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One of the biggest questions for this new mental health forensic facility being located in Laurel is the workforce. That's been a big concern, frankly. No matter where they were going to place this facility is the need for the healthcare workforce. Senator Lenz or Senator Yakovitch, yeah, feel free to weigh in on that one. Senator Yakovitch, I know one of the points you made in that KTVQ interview was, okay, look, we've got 2 to 3 years to get the door open for this facility, so we've got some time to work on the workforce piece. But your thoughts in particular on the concerns that this facility is going to take away from other healthcare services in the Billings area in particular.
Prison near the highway patrol on 27th, near the adult and parole. And these are funded by the state. It's not a burden to the county. And this is what we're projecting. This is a state project funded by, sure, state taxpayer money, but funded by the state. I am totally confident that there won't be a burden to the county. Likewise, you know, with hiring, we're looking at around, and I think Senator S may be helping us out here. He'll be getting on the call, but there's 103 people employed in Galen right now. And that's projected as half, ours here in this area will be half the size. So in terms of workforce, it's a legitimate concern that we need to bolster up our workforce development. But within these years, we got a lot of enthusiasm by colleges who want to send interns who are in psychiatric areas of study, and also just a robust opportunity in this larger area to be able to encourage nursing, encouraging greater jobs for the community. I see this as that opportunity rather than a burden. But I'll pass this on to Senator Lenz here.
Yeah, that's it is an interesting concern for the people in the community, but the reality is we were so far behind the curve that this should have been done years ago to upgrade this, and I think the community would have been ready to go on this. Do we have the educational resources that we would like to have right now? No, we do not. But for Billings, if this comes here, the state facility comes here, as Senator Yakovitch mentioned, we always have a state penitentiary here. The resources will come once it becomes evident that this is something that is important to the community. We already have a lot of resources on mental health. I think it would symbiotically work together and be a better system as a whole.
What are your thoughts in particular on, so basically, as I understand it, I think as Senator Yakovitch just pointed out here, so you'll have a facility in more western Montana, the Deer Lodge, Anaconda kind of area that will support a mental health treatment for prison inmates. This one would more serve eastern Montana. But the big concern from a Billings, Yellowstone County perspective, as you guys well know, is that Billings has basically become kind of the dumping grounds for the state's offenders. And the concern is that, okay, you place this state mental health prison facility essentially in Billings, that now you become yet another avenue for releasing more offenders in the community. But I know, Senator Yakovitch, in particular, this was something that you are adamant will not take place with this facility. People will be released back into their home communities. Is that correct?
Yes. And Senator Lenz put.
So Aaron, one of the things I think we need to highlight is the fact that there are prisoners kind of languishing in the jail, are not getting assessed. They're taking up spots that. They're sitting there waiting for an assessment. Are they fit to proceed? Are they able to continue to go through the system? I know in the Flathead County area, a commissioner mentioned up there that they are impacted on taking up 35 spaces, not just because that there's 35 people, but there were 7 people, and it must be how they're structured. They have to have their own room. So that takes up a lot of space. In Billings, it was 16 people that are needing to be assessed. Well, that opens up a lot of a lot of positions. We're always talking about spaces in the jail. This is one of those places that can solve it.
And Aaron,
yeah, I saw that firsthand when I toured the current Flathead County Jail, and you know there was one guy in one room that could house multiple people, but you know he was screaming and yelling a mental health case, and yeah, they're sitting in these county jails because there's been no place to send them at the state level, and that ends up zapping those local resources there as well. We've got about a minute before our next break, and then we'll talk more after that. But I think we've got State Senator John Esp out of Big Timber on the phone lines as well. Senator Esp, what did you want to throw in here?
Well, good morning, Aaron. I would just follow up on your last question. The vast majority of the people that are discharged from the current forensic mental health facility go back to jail. That's where most all of them go back to jail. There's a few of them that go to commitment either at the prison or at the Montana State Hospital. And there's a few that go to discharge to a civil commitment. And then there's, in the last 4 years or so, there's been 10 that have, out of several hundreds that have discharged to the community. And those are done on highly coordinated discharges in conjunction with the patient, the court, the Office of Public Defenders, and the forensic mental health facility. So they're given wraparound services in the community they're discharged to. They're not generally discharged to the community that's near the facility.
Yeah, good point. Because oftentimes these inmates will remain inmates after getting the mental health evaluation or treatment, I imagine. All right, hold that thought. Back right after this.
Amen to that one. We're sick of hearing about Somalia. We're sick of hearing about Afghanistan. We're sick of our taxpayer dollars going to all these people. Remember when immigrants used to come to this country to be free? Now we got all these folks coming here illegally to get stuff for free, but it's not free. You're paying for it. That's what has people so fired up right now. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. This is the show where you get to sound off statewide 9 to 10.
Hi, Kelly.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As Tyson Foods plans to close a Nebraska beef plant, sending shockwaves through the state, dubbed the Beef State, the company plans to lay off over 3,200 workers when the plant winds down in mid-January. The Lexington, Nebraska plant handles an estimated 5,000 head a day and is located near several large feedlots. David Jobman is chairman of the Dawson County Cattlemen's Association and said at first he thought it was a joke, but quickly learned it was no laughing matter.
Yeah, as a cattle producer here in Dawson County, I'm just in shock along with everybody else. I'm sure the decision was not made lightly, but yeah, that's going to have a huge impact that's going to ripple across the communities around here. Pretty good area that was bringing fattened cattle to Lexington for slaughter, and now you're going to have to find other markets, and added transportation costs are certainly going to be a factor in decision in that.
Nebraska's cattle on feed numbers remain solid, and local leaders in the community, many of whom raise cattle, would like to see the plant continue running under new ownership but face a number of hurdles to do so. And more than 270 leaders from across the dairy industry gathered last week for the 2025 Dairy Sustainability Alliance fall meeting, highlighting how collaboration drives progress. The event highlighted the new 2023 through 24 U.S. Dairy Sustainability Report, tracking progress in well-being, environmental stewardship, and animal and community care. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so we've got a number of guests with us here, State Senator Lenz, State Senator Yakovich, and now State Senator Esp out of Big Timber on the phone lines as well. Plus, we've got callers. We'll try to get to our callers. For any of our state senators, feel free, whoever wants to weigh in and respond to the call, feel free. First up on the phone lines, we've got Joseph in Billings. Joseph, I understand you've got some background in mental health. Health as a psychiatrist. What's your thoughts? Did you have a quick question or comment?
Hi there. Mainly, I have a comment. Joseph Rich is my name. I'm a board certified psychiatrist, practiced in Billings for 40 years and been retired now. for several years. During the latter part of my practice, I did practice forensic psychiatry. I was one of only two forensic psychiatrists in the whole state. I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding about this facility that's being proposed and now chosen to be located in Laurel. This is not going to be a typical state hospital like Warm Springs, but instead it will be like the forensic unit at Warm Springs, and it will totally support the legal system in Montana. Right now, the legal system is really struggling with individuals who are charged with crimes but present with a mental illness. And the court system will take these individuals and refer them to a forensic facility to do evaluations to see if they're competent to stand trial. And up until now, Eastern Montana really has difficulty because there's a, you know, the forensic unit at Warm Springs is generally full. These individuals have to be placed back in jail pending transfer over to that facility.
And much longer to transfer folks as well, I would imagine, there as well. All right. Well, Joseph, thanks so much for calling in. Sorry we're short on time. Senators, who wants to respond on that one or I guess jump in on that part of the conversation?
Yeah, just great comment from our guest here, because what we wanted to do is help the county. We want to get people out of jail. And why Billings? Because it's a lot closer than a road trip all the way to Galen and back, or even up eastern Montana. So it's a win for us to be able to get people out of jail, get them into forensic, get them to fit to evaluate, fit to proceed, evaluated, go back to jail, go on to prison or to their county or to Warm Springs. So, yeah, it's a real... We need to really work on this to save money for our community, but also save lives by getting these people out of jail, because in jail, their behavioral health decreases rather than increases.
Well, and it seems like, too, the big picture is we just saw under the previous Democrat governor, I mean, mental health services in the state just got annihilated, just got destroyed. And he was the same guy who was basically pushing a gun control message while he was trying to run for president. But at the same time, he was annihilating mental health funding and programs and services in the state. Senator John Espe, you may not have been able to hear our studio guests respond to that last caller, but Senator Esp, what else did you want to share that you haven't gotten a chance to share yet with regard to this topic?
I think it's a win for Eastern Montana. I don't know if you heard that part of what I said or not, but you know, this administration committed the previous biennium $300 million to improve the system, to stabilize providers and all those things. I'm just very excited that they're willing to commit capital development funds to build facilities for these type of needs too. So I think it's good for everybody in Montana.
All right. Well, Senator S., thanks for calling in. Senator Lenz or Senator Yakovitch, I guess what have you heard now since the site was selected? Because I think I saw a letter from the city of Laurel outlining, I guess it not necessarily complete opposition to the selection, but the mayor of the city of Laurel wrote this: inside the city of Laurel limits, there is no location that would be suitable for the facility. And so, therefore, I cannot ask the Laurel City Council to consider applying. So, in light of that letter and now Laurel being selected for the facility, I guess break down what that means.
So, it was, this has been an interesting process. We moved forward the bill in House, the funding in House Bill 5 to speed up this process. As part of it, it ended up being confusing for a lot of the communities as to what this was going to look like, where it should be placed, why it should even be in Billings. And it's still part of that. Laurel has had some interest in this, but it's the short time frame, I think, complicated it for everybody. Miles City and Hardin jumped in quickly. There was a lot of interest out of Stillwater County. But the short time frame did complicate things. I think what we need to do is look at the state hospital as it is right now. The state has invested well there. They are now, you know, we lost our Medicaid funding. We're close to getting that certification back. They've put a lot of money into that facility. They've changed the Spratt unit into a forensic unit. So we're not moving the state hospital here, but I think we are reaping the benefit that now the state is putting a lot of money into these facilities, and Eastern Montana will benefit from that because now we have always needed it to be somewhere else. We needed more facilities. The 872 bill, House Bill 872 bill, that created that $300 million commission was one of the things they were going to look at was facilities. That didn't happen as part of that commission, but we're still left with the need for more facilities, and really the need is in Eastern Montana. The state hospital, my understanding is that number one county is Missoula that's there, and number two is Billings, Yellowstone County. So we have a part to play in this. We have people here that need this help.
I remember back when I spoke with Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morris, and it was interesting. Yeah, you know, when we talk about the women's prison, for example, another topic altogether, but kind of tied in with this as well. But Commissioner Morris, you know, was saying how, look, Yellowstone County currently has the women's prison, the largest number of pre-release centers for criminal inmates, the largest number of criminal probationers, largest number of sober living facilities in the state, several other state programs, ones that include sex offender treatment. And so he believes that all of that is combined to turning into Yellowstone County into the dumping grounds for the state. And we kind of addressed that topic earlier, but what about the future of the Montana Women's Prison? I know we've only got a couple more minutes to go here. They're looking at moving that to another location, but Butte didn't want it. They were worried that it might impact their workforce that's already going, to Deer Lodge, for example. Any indications as to where you see the eventual future of the Montana Women's Prison being located as well?
I have asked that question. I just looked across at Senator Yakowitz, and we're not sure about what that looks like right now. You know, they're very much landlocked where they're at. They don't have room to expand there. So if they're needing to expand, they're going to have to look at that. So, but we're not certain on that.
But is there kind of an acknowledgement then by the state, though, that, hey, more of these types of facilities do need to be placed in other parts of the state, though? It seems to be an acknowledgement on that, like a new pre-release center that recently opened in the Flathead, for example.
Yes, I think that is true, that they're acknowledging that the historical places that these facilities were at, and there's good work done in Warm Springs, no doubt. But that, you know, that... Butte is number one on the license plate because that's where most of the people used to be. And so that doesn't happen anymore. Yes, we have a large number of these facilities, but we're also, Yellowstone County is also now the largest county. And I do take a little bit of umbrage at the dumping ground, and there's some of that. But if you're going to approach this from a redemptive way of looking at things, that you care that people are in a bad place and you want to help make it better, you can't just start keep using the terms dumping ground. And I've used other terms like that from the commissioner. And, yeah, I know it's frustrating. And sometimes things from the state are frustrating. But there's better ways of looking at it, Aaron.
All right. Well, gentlemen, appreciate all of you joining us on the show here this morning. And, let us know when there's some other big topics in the news you want to weigh in on. You can call in at random times, or we can even look to schedule you as guests as well. But great to have you back there in studio, and thanks to Senator John Esp for jumping in on the phone lines here as well.
Thank you.
All right, we got another guest, sir, coming up right after this. Stand by.
Bye.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
There was a great piece in the Daily Wire yesterday that caught my eye, and I was like, oh, man, we got to see if we can get this guy on the show. Dan Schneider, Vice President for Free Speech at the Media Research Center. And by the way, the MRC does great work. They've been doing incredible work for years. I think I've been following them since I was in college. By dismantling Biden's censorship machine, Trump made free speech great again. That's the piece by Dan Schneider. You can find right now at thedailywire.com. Dan, great to have you with us here on Montana Talks. In fact, I understand you come from a long line of ranchers in Wyoming. We've got some listeners in northern Wyoming right now as well.
Right. My family's from the Worland and Tensley areas, just south of Billings. By our Western standards, just a stone's throw, 2.5 hour drive from you guys.
Yeah, nothing. That is nothing for our Billings listeners right now. Yeah, we hear Worland mentioned a lot in our ag reports as well, for good reason. Well, it's great to have you on the show. This is a topic we did a great kind of free speech 101 segment. A few weeks ago, my wife works for an incredible organization called the Alliance Defending Freedom. And so we had one of their attorneys.
Wonderful organization.
Yeah, incredible outfit. Yeah. So we had one of their attorneys talking about free speech, kind of a free speech 101, because we've seen the left, now do all of this virtue signaling when it comes to free speech. And it's just like, oh, give me a break. You are the people who were shutting down churches but allowing strip clubs to stay open. You are the people who were trying to get people, thrown in jail for what they were saying. I mean, you were the people who were censoring news outlets and throttling their content on social media for reporting the facts about Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, it's and yet then they want to basically call for violence in America and say, oh, well, free speech, free speech.
Aaron, it's this simple. The modern left confuses the idea of breaking norms with breaking laws. Donald Trump is breaking norms, and they hate him for it. But what kind of norms is he breaking? Like NPR and PBS, they have been breaking the law for decades. The law requires NPR and PBS, if they want our tax dollars, to maintain strict adherence to objectivity and balance. That's the law. But the norm has been that they get to break the law, but still get billions of our tax dollars. And Donald Trump is now enforcing the law and said, no more. If you're going to break the law, I'm not going to give you money. And the left shrieks about it because they like the norm of breaking the law and getting away with it. My cousin down in Tensley, John Mills, he knows what it means to break the law. There's a penalty for it. The left doesn't live that way.
Exactly. And the other thing we remember, too, when Jimmy Kimmel just had some sickening comment. Was it Kimmel? Yeah, it was Kimmel. I always get these guys confused because I never watch these late-night shows anymore. But when
one of the worst.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had these disgusting comments right after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and it was just despicable. And if you criticize Jimmy Kimmel, they'd say, oh, well, don't you believe in free speech? It's like, yeah, I do. And I have the free speech to criticize Jimmy Kimmel. So does President Trump. So does every single one of our listeners. But isn't it funny how, if you criticize something they say, they act like that's an attack on free speech when these people literally want to silence any of their critics?
Yeah, so during the Biden administration, it was the most unprecedented attack on our nation's constitution and laws. 57 massive censorship initiatives launched by Joe Biden and his allies in that executive branch. 57, and these were aggressive attacks to silence his political opposition. This is exactly what the First Amendment was designed to protect us from. The abuse of government. And Donald Trump, is literally Donald Trump's first day back in office, he signed an executive order rescinding each of these Biden censorship initiatives. Now, some of them are complicated, hard to unwind, I'll tell you, Donald Trump has done far more than any other president in U.S. history to protect free speech rights, those rights enshrined in our First Amendment.
Yeah, what were the most outrageous abuses of Joe Biden's censorship regime? And then talk about, you know, too, you know, how you mentioned how President Trump has basically done, he's done more for the First Amendment than any president in modern history, you wrote. But start with some of the outrageous abuses of the Biden censorship regime.
Aaron, it is so disgusting because it's not just silencing the opposition. It's also where Joe Biden got the money to do it, and so what's not being done. So, for example, out of our Department of Homeland Security, there's a big program that's designed to stop terrorists at the border. The Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program. Instead of using our tax dollars to stop terrorists, Donald Trump, Joe Biden and his cronies at DHS were using those dollars to silence conservatives. Those dollars were being handed out to organizations to train people on how to infiltrate conservative groups like the National Rifle Association or the Heritage Foundation or Prager University or the Christian Broadcasting Network, to infiltrate those organizations and upend them and to attack them through social media. Our tax dollars are supposed to be used to catch terrorists, were instead being used to undo right-of-center groups. I mean, this is just outrageous. Just as bad, maybe even worse, the U.S. State Department under Antony Blinken and DHS under Mayorkas during the Biden administration, they launched this effort starting in Germany at Würzburg University, where Joseph Goebbels, you know, did his propaganda work. They started in Germany to train U.S. teachers on how to silence conservative media outlets in the classroom. And then they rolled this out nationwide to the Department of Homeland Security. Teachers all over the country were teaching their students how not to listen to Fox News or to you, Aaron, and how to resist conservative viewpoints and messages and how to censor conservative media outlets and instead highlight only the left. Our tax dollars were designed to do these sorts of things that are both unconstitutional and, of course, upending society.
And then we wonder why there were so many teachers and professors that were celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk, right? And then we see what's going on in, well, not so great Britain right now. You say something on social media that they don't like or is deemed offensive to a transgender person or something like that, they will literally send the police to your apartment. You post a picture of yourself holding a shotgun. I think there was a guy that just did that the other day. Police are going after him. And so what people in the United States don't realize is that is what is coming to the United States of America if we allow the left to take over.
Yeah, Aaron, there's a comedian who was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he tweeted out some funny story about a terrorist, an Islamic radical terrorist. We did that in Phoenix. He then jumped on a plane a few weeks later and flew to London. And he was greeted at the gate at Heathrow Airport with armed guards to arrest him for a tweet he posted in Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow.
The Brits have gone mad. There are thousands of people arrested and incarcerated every year now in the United Kingdom for posting things online that the police state says is offensive. You've got this serious problem in the UK with these radical Islamists who are now like roaming streets and raping young girls. And I'm not making this up. Birmingham is there's this rape epidemic.
And it started with mass Muslim migration. Yeah, but it started with mass Muslim migration, and especially if you offend the Islamic community, they will come after you. About a minute to go here. What has President Trump done? How would you summarize what President Trump done to restore the First Amendment, essentially?
He has taken a club to what Joe Biden was doing. We've got four executive orders now, actually five. Two specifically to rescind the Biden-era censorship things, three additional ones on artificial intelligence, because big tech platforms, you know, Google, Facebook, YouTube, and these artificial intelligence companies, they are all run by radicals, and they are manipulating the news feeds of people. If you, you know, Google News, Apple News, Yahoo News, more people get their news from these sources and they don't even realize it. And these sources are pushing a left-wing agenda. And Donald Trump is ending that, saying if you are an AI company and you've got a giant contract with the U.S. government, you can't do this anymore.
That's huge.
And we're going to see soon how he's going to enforce that.
And they're bearing news that comes from sources like ours. Yeah, well, you can see it digitally.
Yeah, exactly.
Very clearly. All right. Dan Schneider, Vice President of Free Speech at the Media Research Center. Great to have you on the show.
Fox Sports Update.
It had the feel of March Madness, even if the calendar says December.
Continually defended. Help from Plajon.
Duke was trailing at home against the defending national champions when an ice-cold Isaiah Davis nailed a tray on ESPN to put the Blue Devils in front of the Florida Gators for good. Duke winning 67-66. Meanwhile, in Syracuse, the Orange, they pull off the upset.
He'll throw it the length of the floor, and it is aimed at the catch, put it up, no good. And Syracuse wins 62-60.
The Orange knocking off the 13th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers at the Dome. Elsewhere, top-ranked Purdue beat Rutgers 81-65. Fifth-ranked UConn beat number 21 Kansas. 16th-ranked North Carolina knocked off number 18 Kentucky. Other ranked winners include Michigan State and USC. On the hardwood of the NBA, the Thunder are now 21-1 on the season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 38 points for Oklahoma City. They win their 13th straight. They cruise past the Warriors 124-112. Steph Curry did not play for Golden State. The T-Wolves knocked off the Pelicans in overtime, 149-142. Tyrese Maxey with 35. Sixers beat the Wizards 121-102. Celtics beat the Knicks in Boston. Other winners, Toronto and San Antonio. On the ice in the National Hockey League, the Vegas Golden Knights beat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 in a shootout. Goalie Carter Hart with the victory for Las Vegas. He was playing in his first game in more than 2 years following his acquittal on sex assault charges. You can listen and follow the Fox Sports podcast at foxsports.com. I'm Frank Lanza.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Hey.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left this hour of the show. We do have the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house next hour. And, of course, we'll keep taking your phone calls while he is with us as well. Ken in Billings sent us a message when we were talking about this mental health facility that will be placed in Laurel. Supporting basically the prison inmate, jail inmate population. Cannon Billings says this, just an FYI, 97% of inmates will be released back into the community. I want them to get all the help they need prior to getting out. Ken, thanks for that message. Let's see. Another one came in here from right on John talking about the Democrat Confederates that want to end the beef industry because of CO2, which feeds all the plants, yet they fertilize their hippie gardens with cow dung. What else does he have to say here? They want us to stop all the mining, which now is totally safe and clean in America compared to the 1700s. Renewables are trees, which makes their affordable housing and their tools. Will the Confederate Democrats ever wake up? I don't think a better education will even help these people. That's from Right on John, who says he is listening in Los Angeles. Let's go to Tamara in Billings. Tamara, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Quick comment about this real ID and this digital ID. I want to get your feedback and John Jackson's feedback on it. They are now trying to charge you $45 with each boarding if you don't have the real ID. That real ID started back in the Biden regime. Just another step to control us. You get that chip in your driver's license. And so I'd like to know who's really behind this big, huge push besides the digital ID, just another control measure also. And then a quick comment about the hospital in Laurel. They've needed better psychiatric services for the many, many years in Montana, and I just view that as a stepping stone to getting more and more funding to start setting up better and better psych services throughout Montana. Laurel's a bedroom community of Billings, and they almost got enough funding to start developing downtown years ago anyway, and that's why American Airlines has a direct flight to Dallas-Fort Worth for that connection. So it's, I think it's just a stepping stone.
Yeah, interesting. You know, the challenge with any psychiatric facilities is like, it reminds me of when they built that VA psychiatric facility in Helena, and then they couldn't find people to staff it. You know, and that's the big question here as well, which is like, okay, if you build it, will they come? And, you know, are you competing with an already, you know, existing healthcare workforce that is in need of more folks? Yeah, I think everybody agrees that we need a facility like that. The question is, will they be able to staff it? But the state senator said earlier, he believes they've got 2 to 3 years to try to figure that one out. The real ID, you know, unfortunately, you know, Montana, we had been fighting that for years, and now it's just fully implemented. I did see that story, though, if you go to an airport and you don't have the real ID, they're going to try to charge you just to get on an airplane. That is just outrageous, being proposed or actually being put forward. I was wondering, too, because, well, like, for example, as retired military, I have a military ID, which has been considered as a real ID card, but I wonder if they're gonna try to move away from even recognizing that. The digital ID, obviously, the pros of having a digital ID are, hey, you know, you're out on the town, you forgot your wallet. Well, hey, here's my ID right here, right? But there's obviously a lot of folks who are not wanting to get that on their phones at all, given the huge privacy concerns and considerations on that front. Tamara, thanks for the call. We've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house next hour.
From the to look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some clouds in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies as high temperature readings will stay around the lower 30s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with overnight lows in the upper teens to around 20. And then we'll see considerable cloudiness on Thursday. Some scattered snow showers with high temperature readings up in the mid and upper 30s for most areas. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.